Have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 3, the seventh church that Jesus addressed. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing.' But do you realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Lukewarm. Kind of makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? Lukewarm milk. How about lukewarm enchiladas? How about a lukewarm swimming pool in the middle of July? A lukewarm cup of coffee first thing in the morning? Or open your refrigerator at this afternoon and say, "Oh, it's lukewarm." All of those are disgusting and sickening. Lukewarm. The church. Disgusting and sickening as well. And that was Jesus' words for the church at Laodicea. Don't picture a building. Picture believers, followers of Christ, who met together, the body of Christ, in Laodicea, lukewarm. The picture is painted of a complacent, apathetic, indifferent church, an ineffective, useless, spiritual, bankrupt church. Oh, and they felt they were so self-sufficient. And Jesus says, "And I am about to spit you out." And I tell you, that translation of that particular Greek word is pretty mild. Now, when this letter was presented to the church, remember, all of these letters were what we would call as circular letters. When John wrote, he said, "To the churches, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." One church didn't just get their letter. No, the church at Laodicea, maybe they've already heard of what the Spirit said to the church at Ephesus and Smyrna. They also heard the letter that was written primarily to Thyatira and Pergamum and Sardis. They all heard these letters in the context of their church, but don't you know their ears really listened when it said to the church at their location? So they were listening. The church had gathered, and the letter is going to be presented, and here come the words. Now, this church was in a great city, I already explained, an established city, a city of commerce, a busy city, a successful city, a city that was designed because they had a wonderful road system. They were sort of the poster child of the Chamber of Commerce for the area. This was the place to be, but They also knew they weren't the greatest city because they were missing water. Now, in Texas, we understand that you need water. And if you're going to grow your city, economic development, you must have good water, and you need plenty of water. And Laodicea didn't have plenty, and what they had was terrible. It said that their water was, well, we've noticed in towns, their water smelled bad. Their water was not good. But they had a plan. Because just south of Laodicea was the city of Colossae. Colossae was in the mountain range, and the water in Colossae was wonderful. It was snow water. As the snow melted, it was that fresh mountain water, the water that we pay money to buy to put into our refrigerators today. It was that type of water, cold, fresh, great water, and it was only 6 miles away. And so the city fathers said, let's build an aqueduct. Let's build some pipes. We can capture the water from Colossae, bring it to our city. It was a magnificent aqueduct system. And the water came, and it was lukewarm. The cold water in the stone pipe, and it was tepid at best. But Laodicea did not give up, because they looked not only south, they looked north to Hierapolis. Hierapolis, even from Laodicea, they could see on a clear day the steam rising. For in Hierapolis, they had this geothermal spring-fed water that was boiling hot. Now, I couldn't make this up. That's what they were known for. The medical city was in Hierapolis, and they had these wonderful healing waters. Think of mineral wells. Think of Marlin, Texas. Places that we know that have those type of burning wonderful waters. And so, like they did to the south, they now did to the north. They built this wonderful stone pipe system to get those wonderful waters into Laodicea. But when they arrived, they were not hot. They were lukewarm. And so when these words were read to this church, as the believer sat and heard, they understood lukewarm. The water that came into their city was lukewarm, but Jesus said, and so are you. And because you're not hot and you're not cold, I am about to spit you out. Oh, but they said, well, we don't have water, and we may be a little lukewarm, but we are wealthy. We are a rich church. We don't need a thing, is what the word says. We don't need a thing. Financially, they were a great city. And I guess the finance of the city, the wealth of the city, made its way into the church. No, the great medical center, only 6 miles away, that had this great healing hot water. This particular town was known for the balm, the salve. People who were blind would come to Laodicea, and they would receive sight. The medical community, just 6 miles away, had developed this wonderful salve, and throughout the city, even at this day, sight was being restored through this salve. Remember, this was a great textile city. They were known for their wool. If you wanted a really great wool garment, you made sure it said, made in Laodicea. We're wealthy. We're rich. We don't need a thing. But Jesus said, you're poor. You're blind. You're naked. We have our eye salve. You're blind. We have our banks. You're poor. We have our wool. You're naked. And Jesus wasn't finished. You are wretched. You are pitiful. They were on a fence, and it wasn't a good fence. They were comfortable on their fence. Jesus said, you're not cold, you're not hot, you're wretched, you're poor. And their fence was about to collapse as Jesus said, I will spit you out. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to society. He's not talking to a bunch of lost pagans in the world. He's talking to the very body of Christ, a church that was formed through the Apostle Paul's friends. Pitiful, wretched, lukewarm church. Of the seven churches that John had the vision, the seven churches that John addressed, this is the one church where there are no words of praise. But there is some hope. Verse 19, did you hear it? Those whom I love. The only church that it said, the only church that Jesus said, I love. Those whom I love, I rebuke. Those whom I love, I discipline. Jesus longingly says, be earnest. Repent. Listen, I'm here, he said to them. Here I am. Listen to me. I am knocking and I long to come in. You're lukewarm, you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, but I love you, and I long to be with you. Listen, listen, let me in. I told Walker and John this week, I almost said, why don't I do the six churches of the Revelation? Because this seventh church is a message that I have not looked forward to. Walker, several weeks ago, said, I'll preach on Laodicea, but that would have messed up the whole order. So I said, no, I would do it. And this week, I thought, why didn't I let him do it? Because the other churches that we've looked at, when John wrote about the slander in the church and immorality in the church, that this church had left their first love and that this church was being persecuted, when all the words to these churches about you have fallen for idols and false doctrine and false deeds and false teaching, none of those really bothered me. But Laodicea is just too close to home, isn't it? I look at churches across our nation. As I reflect on churches, especially in our Bible Belt, what we used to know as Bible Belt, when I look at all the churches in our city and I look at our church and I look in the mirror, I'm afraid I see Laodicea. Comfortable and complacent has become the motto and the mission of many a church. Comfortable. Complacent. But rather than being our motto, we should see it as the twin enemy of the church. We have no pressure. We have no threat. All is well. So many of our churches are so consumed by ritual and tradition that we find the church in a faith crisis. Christian nationalism, God and country, has become more so than God and spirit. Our southern culture and folk religion has become more of the picture of the church than a church that is led by the power and moving of the Holy Spirit. The church is satisfied and self-sufficient, maybe a little boring. A little boy was in church about this time of the sermon. He gives a big exhale and says, this is so boring. His sister elbows him in the ribs and says, shut up. It's supposed to be boring. Is it? The church so satisfied and so self-sufficient. Dr. James Dennison said, our self-sufficiency cannot feed our souls, and it cannot meet the deepest needs we feel. The greatest prosperity cannot purchase the significance that Jesus longs to give. Maybe it's good for us that we didn't have the money to build the building next door. We are in debt. $3 million. $3 million, yay, for a bank that loaned us money. I'm glad we're in debt. I hope we're not always in debt, but it reminds me that we are not self-sufficient. We are not self-sufficient. Though we are tremendously blessed financially, we didn't have enough to do what we wanted to do in the time we wanted to do it. We are not self-sufficient. Isn't that why we come before God in prayer? Oh, God, we need you. We just sang it. We need you. Oh, God, we need you to give us the direction, to help us discern your will. Oh, God, we need you. I'm not bold enough, smart enough, or definitely spiritual enough to give us the vision that we need. We need you, oh, God, to give us the leadership and direction. God, we come just as we are. We are not sufficient. We need to fall off our fence. We need to fall off our lukewarm fence, not hot, not cold. Or maybe God will just push us off that fence. And when we fall, I pray we stand on His grace. Of all churches, Laodicea, who had so much going for it, but they were simply lukewarm. But it was the church. It was still the body of Christ. Christ loved the church. And those words, "Behold, here I am. I love you. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will just hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I have preached on Revelation 3:20 probably more than any verse in all of the Revelation. Most of us, as we hear that verse, we think of that first knock, that knock of salvation. As I look across our congregation, and as you are at home watching, probably the vast majority, maybe all, have heard the knock of Christ on your life. If I were to ask you today, you would say, "Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I heard the knock. I've opened my door to Christ. I am a follower. My eternity is secure." Yes. But is that all the knock is about? How many of us have opened the door just enough? We open the door just enough to experience the grace of God and the salvation of God through Christ. And in this room, in our heart, in our life, we've given Christ just a little bit. Just into that entry foyer. What if we open the door all the way? What if we allowed Christ into this room and that room and into the kitchen and the dining room and maybe upstairs, even into the closet? In the back porch, allowed Christ to move throughout our life, and we allowed the Holy Spirit to do the work in our life that He longs to do. Jesus said, "I long to come. I long to be with you. Here I am. Open the door." Christ longs not only just to have a snack with us, but when they in Thessalonica and when those in Laodicea and in Sardis, when they heard those words, they knew what it was to eat a meal. They knew what it was to have a real meal that went on for hours and hours. And Jesus said, "If you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll have a meal with you." So what do we do with these sermons? We've heard seven sermons to seven churches, and it's so easy to think, boy, that church at Sardis, that church at Philadelphia, those in Ephesus, they needed those words, and boy, those in Laodicea, they're not hot, they're not cold, they're lukewarm. Isn't it us? The big L in front of us. God, help us not to be Laodicea. But that can only happen when we hear those words, I loved you. That's what he said. Those that I love, I discipline. Those that I love, I rebuke. Those that I love, repent. Don't be lukewarm.